me, oh God, to be able to come humbly in your presence, to be able to know you, oh Lord. Father, we're so grateful for this opportunity that you have given to each and every one of us, again, to be able to come into this place and to begin to celebrate you. Lord, we are grateful. Thank you again for these that are here today. We pray that you would open up their hearts and their minds that they may be able to receive a true word from you. Lord, as we think about facing trials patiently, Lord, I pray that you would guide our very thoughts, Lord, as again we open and expose ourselves to that of your holy truth through the power of your words. I pray again that you would stir us to a point of motivation to do your will in your way. God, I pray that we would respond positively again to your message. Lord, what a joy it is. Again, we just want to celebrate you. We truly have, as we've studied and understood even last Sunday night, an audience of one. God, we want to honor you with all that we are and with all that we have. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. If you would, please be seated. We're going to go ahead and dismiss our young people to Children's Church. What a joy to have them go out. I say this quite often. I know a lot of you that sit up kind of front of the church here, you don't get to see it how I get to see it from the pulpit, but you know, when we release Children's Church, if y'all have noticed, it frees up room in here, doesn't it? Because there was a lot of children that went out just a moment ago. And what a joy it is to celebrate our God in that fact, to know that we do have the privilege of influencing truly the next generation for Christ. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Are you excited to be here? Amen? I want to say to you that I've been looking forward to this opportunity to begin to study more about our God together. I want to share with you that I had a few moments just a moment ago there in Sunday school, and to be able to think about that we can make a difference through the power of the gospel. And I hope that you believe that, that you believe in the fact that we don't serve a dead Savior, but we serve a risen Savior. And what a joy it is to be able to honor him with our presence, but most importantly, that he honors us with his presence. Amen? But what a joy it is to be here. Thank you for coming. We're talking about the subject this morning of facing trials patiently. I want to share with you that as you turn with me to James chapter 5, we're going to begin looking in verse 7. I want to share with you that if you think that we're going to live this life without any trials, you're sadly mistaken. The reality is when you and I were born into this world, I want you to understand that we are born into a sinful world, where trials and persecutions from time to time will come to be. But the question is how will you handle yourself in the midst of these trials? So as we go, we're looking there in James chapter 5, beginning our reading there in verse 7. The Bible shares with us as we read, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and the late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your heart, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourself may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the enduring of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Praise God for the reading of his word." As we continue our study together here on the book of James, one of these things that we begin to see again in this study is we're talking about Christian conduct. We're talking about the attitude of once we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, how are we then to act? He just spoke to us, as you'll remember last week, on the conduct that we should have on the wicked rich. But I want to share with you, he talks about the rich, wicked rich suppressing that of the believers. Then he goes on to speak to us here in the next few moments about those who are the ones being persecuted. I want to say to you that there's a mentality that has taken place in our society today. And in fact, they've already coined a phrase for it, something that you have heard. And it's called this. It's called shaming. Shaming. And in fact, what people are doing in the community and in the society in which we live, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're public in the way of your expression of that belief, there are people who are rising up and trying to shame you for that belief. I want to say to you, you can look at life this present day of one of two ways. You could either look at it with the thoughts going this way. You could look at it with the thoughts of, oh, mercy me. You can have that mentality or poor us in the midst of it. Or you could look at this society in which we live today and go, you know what, God, we want to celebrate you. Praise your holy name. Because what we're finding out in this world today is this, is that what's taking place in the way of social media, what's taking place that we see on the national news and so forth, and looking at the newspaper, what we're seeing is this, is that everything that this is telling us is lining up with what's happening. And I want to say to you, I'm kind of looking at it in this way of thinking. Praise God that today I get an opportunity to live. Praise God that I have an opportunity to live and live in Christ Jesus. Because God may, He may just choose an old wicked sinner like me to be used to bring honor and glory to His holy name. I want to say to you that again, the society in which we live, they're trying to suppress that of the believer. They're trying to bring down those who are of Christ. They're trying to take away, if you will, our rights and privileges therein. But I want to share with you that the thing about it is they can't harm us. You know why? Even if they take our life, because our blessed hope is not on anything that they're about, but on the fact that Jesus is a risen Savior. And for anybody who places their faith and trust in Him, I want you to understand that we're saved, and we're saved to the uttermost. Anybody want to celebrate that? Glory to our holy God for this moment to be celebrating Him today in the present condition that we are currently in. Friends, trials will and are coming our way. They are coming our way. But as we look at it, we should not have the mentality as though we don't win. The Bible teaches us very clearly that those that are of the church, that upon that rock, he said he'll build his church. And he says the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I want you to know that as much as they may shame, as much as they try to suppress you, I want you to understand fully, they cannot stop us. I'm fixing to get excited. They cannot stop us. The reality is, according to Job, which is, according to what we understand, one of the earliest manuscripts that is given, Job says, man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward, according to Job 5:7. Man is born for trouble. Persecution, listen, will come. But as they come, we need to have the proper attitude in the upcoming trials that we will be facing. What is the proper attitude? I'm grateful that James gave us a look, an insight as to how we are to face these trials. Number one, he says this, as we'll look at it. Anticipate the Lord's coming. See, already, without even preaching, because I kind of know where I'm going, I'm already getting excited about what's happening. Anticipate the Lord's coming. The reality is, He's coming soon. I want to say to you, many have been talking about that of Dr. David Jeremiah. Many have been talking about his study about the coming of the end. That is to say, in the way of the study of eschatology, the end times, to know that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming soon. Many of us that have lived this life thus far in Christian world, you have heard from revival preachers. You have heard from preachers who have proclaimed the truth in the pulpit. You have heard that Jesus is coming soon. We say this type of stuff. We tell you at any moment He may come. And I want to say, John says, even so, Lord, come now quickly. I want to ask you, do you look to the east with a high anticipation that today might be the day, the opportunity that He calls, that in Christ shall rise, and then those who remain may be caught up in the air together with them? I want to ask you something for a believer here today. Aren't you excited? The coming of the Lord. I want to say to you, I spoke this Wednesday night, and I'm going to go on and share it with you now. I was with my daddy. We were camping over there in the state park over in Suwannee River there, state park. And while we were there camping, we come off the fishing, and we walked up to the camp. And I started to talk about the woes and the troubles of this world. And I looked at daddy, and I said, Daddy, I said, does that worry you? Does it just bother you? How many are in that category with me, right? It just bothers you to know how much persecution the church will face, how much it might come upon us. It worried me and bothered me. And he turned and looked at me. He goes, no, it don't bother me. I said, why does it not bother you? He says, because the Word of God is lining up and everything's coming to truth. See, he has an anticipation in his heart. An anticipation that Jesus is coming soon. As we look to the Scriptures, what we'll begin to see, verse 7, is this. Therefore, be patient. Anybody struggle there? Anybody struggle? Be patient. Oh, I know I struggle. I want to tell you, I'm in that category, kind of like the night before Christmas type of attitude, right? He might be coming tonight, or He is coming tonight. That anticipation, maybe that trip that you've been waiting to go on, that vacation trip, that anticipation the night before. Are you with me on what I'm talking about? Oh, we get to go. Oh, we get to go. The excitement that breeds and so forth. Well, I want to say to you that there are times where you have to be patient. Anybody been ready for that type of vacation, had to work the remainder of the week? And have you ever gotten to that place to the closing of the week? It gets harder and harder to get up and go and keep motivating yourself to do the job at hand because you're so anticipating the chance to go off. Well, I want to say to you, we'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work. I want to tell you, we'll work. Why? Because we have a job to do right now. But we should work with an anticipation that there is coming a day when Jesus comes. I'm getting excited. The coming of the Lord. He says, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. You see, even the farmer waits for the precious produce of soil. being patient about it until it gets the early and the late rain. Some some didn't get to plant the garden, the potatoes, on the 14th like they normally do. Some didn't get to. But it's been told to me even this morning that some got to plant their squash and so forth already. But they're holding out because they're going to plant again a little later so that all is not having to be reaped at one time. It's a spacing of time. I want to say to you, that excites me even in that thought there. Because what's going to happen, some of us may be trying to patiently work that out, you know, as far as the garden is concerned. But our Lord, He's reaping some now. He may reap some later. But there's coming a day where He's going to call it all. And it'll be the end of the harvest. I want to ask you, are you prepared for that moment? Are you ready? Because it's coming. He's coming. For those of us that are in Christ Jesus, we're celebrating, patiently waiting, and anticipating that of His coming. But some of you that are sitting here today, your heart ought to be anxious. You need to be a little worried because you've yet to come to faith, knowledge in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say to you, some of us are praying, Lord Jesus, even now, come quickly. So the question of your mind ought to be, will He come today? And if He does, am I ready for His return? Anticipating the coming of the Lord. For some in the believers, the anticipation of the coming of the Lord is excitement. For the non-believer, it's a time and a call that you come to Christ now. Because now is the acceptable time. Now is the time that you need to accept Him as Lord and Savior. When we think about the reality that He is coming. Verse 8 says, you too, be impatient, strengthen your heart, for the coming of the Lord is near. I think about in this high anticipation of the coming of the Lord, I think, as far as my heart is concerned, that moment can't wait. It'll come just as God in His infinite wisdom and deciding before the foundation of the world. I want you to understand it'll come in His timing. But as far as me, I want all the benefits of heaven even right now. Now, there's only a few of those benefits that I may be able to receive. But one of those benefits is an active relationship with God, the Heavenly Father. Do you know? I don't have to wait to get to heaven to receive that. I want you to understand that I can place my mind on the things above, as Colossians 3 teaches me. And with that, I can begin to actively seek after that of the hand and the will of God in the way of studying with and for the Lord, to understand Him more and more. So as you say, Brother Preston, the thought here is to be patient. Yes, to be patient, but with an attitude of strengthening your heart. I want you to know that the persecution that may come, we may have never seen the likes of. I want to ask you, are you prepared? Are you prepared as Stephen was prepared whenever the stoning came, that he was able to look into the heavens and begin to know what was prepared for him, to look out to the ones that were persecuting him and have this attitude, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, the only way, in my opinion, that you can have that type of mindset is if your heart has been strengthened by the power of God, that He grips you in such a way to prepare you for what's to come in the way of the trial. To have an attitude of anticipating the Lord's coming. But not only that, I want you to know that not only is it the anticipation that the Lord is coming, but the recognizing, or recognition, if you will, that to recognize the Lord's judgment. I want you to understand that God will judge. Listen to this thought. Some of us think that judgment is just based on the judgment that is to come on those who are without Christ, and that judgment of hell and condemnation. But the Bible teaches us clearly that not only is it that, but he goes on to share with us that the judgment will be among the believer as well. In fact, it will be tried. Every man's work, according to the Word of God, will be tried with fire. And what isn't proven, what isn't of the heavenly mindset, it says it will be consumed and burned up and it'll be for nothing. But that that remain, you see, that that's remaining will be the active part of what God celebrates with you all. I had a man ask me this question or talk to me a little bit. He said this, one of those moments for me where you kind of ponder the thought. But the statement was, I don't know if I've laid up crowns as far as my life is concerned. So the way I'm taking that statement is just because you accept Christ as your Savior doesn't mean that you have crowns to lay at the feet of Jesus. You with me so far? God is a righteous judge who will judge all things. Think on that for a moment. We need to recognize the Lord's judgment. According to verse 9, it says, "Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door." I want you to know some have the mentality that you in and of yourself, to serve a judgment on those that are around you. Well, I want to say to you that according to the Word of God, that the judgment belongs to God and God alone, not you. Let me go on to say, not only that, but some have the mentality that if I accept Christ, then there will be no judgment that will come upon me. Again, false. Judgment will be on each and every one of us. So when we think about being active in patiently waiting on Christ while we face trials, we need to understand that He is the righteous, pure judge. He's the one that will handle all matters. It is not up to you to handle. Patiently wait, recognizing the fact that He and He alone is the righteous judge. He will judge. According to the Word of God, we begin to understand that we ought to follow the Lord's servants. That is to say, the examples that have been given to us. Look at verse 10. "As an example, brethren, of the suffering and patience taken the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord." Have you noticed the Old Testament lately? Have you been picking that up from time to time? Just because here in recent days I've not preached the Old Testament does not mean that I don't believe in it. I do believe in it. And let me assure you that there are some great examples of what it means to patiently endure in trials by that of the prophets of old. And as we look to the Scriptures, we can think of some that have been given to us, and remembering that John the Baptist was one himself. Do you remember what the outcome was for John the Baptist as far as here on this earth? You got it right. He was decapitated. There were many others, according to what we know, that went and suffered all the way even to the point of death for their faith in Christ. But yet, I want you to understand that one of the things that we see is that they faithfully followed the Lord. They endured even to the end. As we look, we again are reminded in verse 10 as an example of the suffering and the patience that take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Let me assure you that the ones we're talking about for clarification are the ones that were saying, "Thus saith the Lord." They were speaking mightily for that of God as a representation of our God, our Heavenly Father. I want to say to you, there are many of you, whether you're a preacher, a teacher, a deacon, or so forth, I want you to know if you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, you ought to be proclaiming and heralding the truth of God. And with that, I want you to know from time to time, you're going to receive persecution. You're going to receive that shaming, that condemning, and that putting you down. But I want to say to you that you need to shake the dust off your feet and bow up. And keep on going. To follow the example of the Lord's servant. Some have read this book because I've given it out. But in faithfully following those faithful servants, the book was entitled Divine Mentors. I want to ask you this question. If you had a divine mentor that would help you to understand what it means to face persecution patiently in the Lord, wouldn't you go and speak to him? Well, I want to say to you, God, in his infinite wisdom, gave us exactly that. He has given to us and to all that will, that will faithfully study the Word of God. He has given to us divine mentors who will help you to understand what it means to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. The thing about it is if you're not opening the Word of God, if you're not seeking Him with all of your heart, soul, and mind, then you may be missing out on what it takes to continue to stay in a faithful stride for the Lord Jesus Christ. As we continue this journey, we need to follow the Lord's servant. But not only that, we need to understand the Lord's blessings. Let's look there in verse 11. It says, we count those blessed who endure. We count those blessed who endured. Listen at this thought. I want to say to you, it's not about just winning one battle, is it? It's about continuing on time after time after time again. I want you to understand that we truly live in a society where we have waves of trouble that keep coming and keep crashing against us over and over and over again. And with that mentality, I want you to understand that we need to be patient, not just for one time, but for every time, every situation, every circumstance that comes our way. We need to bow up and defy defeat with the help of Christ to know that we can be more than victorious. I want you to understand at any moment that you desire to work this on your own, you will fail. But when you take on that of the power and the presence of God, I want you to know you can be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh, what a joy to celebrate the fact that He is a God who brings blessings. To count those blessed. Again, who are we talking about? The ones who endure. The ones who endure. You know, many of us can get off to a quick start. My baby brother came back from... Y'all notice I didn't say my older brother. He's sitting here this morning. So we're going to use my baby brother as an example since he ain't here. My baby brother went off to the military. And when he went off to the military, he went off to Saudi Arabia. And evidently there wasn't much recreation going on there. Because all he done was done his job. He said he ate, slept, and worked out. When he came back, he done got bigger and all that sort of stuff. Well, me and my brothers, we can't let well enough alone, and evidently we ain't grown up yet. So these girls, they know all this is the truth. So he comes home. When he comes home, he talks about how tight he was, and they started taking the tape out, started measuring arms, and Anyways, as y'all have picked up, for those of you that know my family, I'm the run of the family. I don't even get measured. They won't even measure me, you know. That's just, it's kind of like I'm out of the game. And so they got measuring and stuff, and then they got to talking a bunch of noise as good brothers would do. And all of a sudden, we decided to go to the weight pile. So they started putting on those weights, and of course, all I was good for, and I'm still good at that, is running my mouth. I could talk to them trash, you know. Jeff says he can beat you. He can't do it. Yo, he says he can't. He can't do it. We started going weights, started putting them on. Sure enough, they started pressing them one time. We got to where we put everything we own on the bar, and both of them pressed it. Then we started adding stuff. You'd be surprised at what a little bit we'll add. We started putting the colanders on. You know, no weightlifter ever puts the true colanders. We put those on and we started adding on. And then it went from that where we had everything we knew we could stick on the bar to how many times you could do it. And so they started going tit for tat, back and forth, back and forth. Finally, when I thought he was good and wore out, my baby brother, by doing that competition with my oldest brother. By the way, my oldest brother kept up with him the whole way through. So he's talking, well, I knew I couldn't beat him on the weights. So I decided to go to a foot race. I'm lighter than him, you know? I mean, I thought this was a good idea. So we lined up. My mama, she done got into it. So old Nana walks to the end of the dirt road. She throws her hands up. It was a short distance. She drops her hands. When she dropped her hands, I took off like y'all ain't never seen. And by the time I got up to full stride, he done walked across the finish line. I thought to myself, now see, that's how you're supposed to take off. And there's many of us as believers, we take off like that. We take off as though we're going just as absolute, but we can only go a short distance. But God teaches us, it's not about that short distant run. It's about endurance. Can you keep on keeping on? And when the times get hard, can you continue to press through and endure all the way to the end? I want you to understand, for those that are blessed, I want you to understand it's the ones who have endured to the end. You see, Bible teaches us that Jesus himself spoke. He spoke and he said this. He says, blessed are those that are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want you to know what he's talking about is keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have that mentality of pushing through. Blessed, that is to say happy, that is to say that he will and is with you. The Bible goes on to say you've heard of the endurance of Job and have seen of the outcome of the Lord's dealings. As we look at that, I want to say to you, the next thought is this: realize the Lord's purpose for your life. Can you imagine Job? Anybody studied the life of Job? Can you imagine getting stripped of everything that you had here on this earth? And to begin to understand that in the midst of all of that, he says, even while he was coached to do so by others around him, to curse God and die. He said, what am I to curse him? Am I to shame him and talk down on him when things are hard and only praise him in the good times? I want you to know that Job came to an understanding that he was going to praise him no matter what. Let me say this to you. For a heart to come to that realization, you've got to make a predetermined decision. You've got to set it in your mind that you're going to do that. Because when the time of persecution comes, you can't make a mind up like that. I want you to understand that happens on the front end. The question is, for you that are here today, who are you going to be in Christ? Do you say with your heart and in your heart, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. We want to press forward with a purpose in mind. to bring honor and glory to the one, the only one who deserves honor and glory. Going with a purpose. And then we need to consider this. Consider the Lord's character. Ooh. Son, this excites me. The character of God. I want you to understand something. There's only a few things about the Lord that He actually reveals to you and I. But He reveals portions of His character to us. And when He does, I want you to understand that at the moments you fall weak, at the moments that you're tired and weary, the Bible teaches us this. Be not weary in that well-doing, for in due time you shall reap if you faint not. And you see, the blessing of that is, it's not about you and necessarily your undoing, but to understand the character of God Himself. You see, God cannot, will not lie. And the promises of God will come to be. So as we look at the blessed hope as to who our God is, the Bible teaches us this. The Bible shares with us in the closing, it says, the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. In my study on James thus far, the word compassion is only found right here in James. A word maybe that James himself come up with. Meaning an emptiness in the stomach or multiply. That is to say the compassion of our Lord where that is the gut. You ever heard the word gut check? The seed of that emotion. What we're talking about here is this compassion. Our Lord is full of compassion. He's full of it. And going on, it says, and full of mercy. Have you ever heard that our God's mercy endureth forever? So we think in light of this, understand that our God is full of compassion. He's full of mercy. So at the moment that you feel as though you're weary, and at the moment that you feel as though you're about to crumple and fall, the Bible says, why don't you take Christ's yoke and put it on your neck and take your load and put it on Him? See, your load is heavy and you will fall under it. But His, to the authority of God's Word, is easy and light. And as we think about the character of God, I believe we can celebrate His character as the psalmist did in Psalm 30, verse 5, as he says, for His anger is but for a moment, His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for a night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Friends, we can make it. Endure. In the midst of the trials, in the midst of all that's going on in this world, understand that as a believer, you are more than victorious. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You again for the authority of Your Word. We pray that You would help us to be obedient to Your Word. Help us to do what You have called and commissioned us to do according to the authority of Your Word. God, I pray for those that feel as though they're at the point of breaking. God, may they lay their burdens before You. God, may they not feel ashamed of You. You share with us in Your Word, if we're ashamed of You before men, You'll be ashamed of us before the Father. Hey, God, I pray that we wouldn't be ashamed, but that we would stand up and stand firm for You, O God. And for those that are dealing with the persecutions of life, there may be some, Lord, that are dealing with the weight that is so heavy. May they come to the altar, O Lord. May they pray. And God, may they take up the rest that is in You. God, there are some that don't know you as Savior and Lord. And I pray that today would be the day of salvation. May you draw that heart unto yourself as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.